Blog Talk Radio.
You know I love you, right? Ain't nobody got what we got.
GQ Palace Radio.
What I've been with my baby.
Yes. It's here built from the concrete, baby. Don't get no better than this.
Super Lover C and Casanova Rudd. You know the golden era of hip hop, baby. You are now tuned in to GQ Palace Radio.
Back, relax, and listen to GQ Palace Radio, Reality and Relationship, with KL and Tiffany Belvin. It's fun, baby.
Reality and Relationships. I am your host, KL Belvin, along with my lovely wife, Tiffany Braxton, very pregnant Belvin. And
hey.
It has been a 2-week hiatus. We are back on the air. Oh my gosh, it seems like it's been so long. What's up, baby?
Not much, just tired. As
wow,
expected.
You just sound no energy, man. Just we back on the air 2 weeks. You sound like you had the DMV.
And you know,
like,
the crazy, thing is I took a nap before we came on. I had like a
exactly.
2-hour nap and I'm still exhausted. But
and no, we have not had the baby yet. Baby KL is hanging on. Says she's going to stay on vacation a little while longer before she makes her appearance in the world. But she is healthy And we had it checked out, and I'm sure my wife will fill you in on all that. But I just want to thank everyone that is tuned in, listening tonight to Reality and Relationships. This is where Tip and I discuss relationships from all different angles, not just the traditional of dating. We look at all relationships, because any contact that you have with other people is relationships. And we attempt to bring our focus, our expertise on that. And we thank you who have tuned in. And if you are listening in, please jump on your phone, Twitter, Facebook. Tell some other folks to tune in tonight. Let's get this started. So, baby, fill us in on your last 2 weeks. It's been a long time since we've been on air. So fill me in on what's going on with you. Not that I don't already know, because you don't do too much. But go ahead and let the folks know what you've been up to.
Yes, actually, the last couple of weeks, I've been resting. 2 weeks ago, I had to go to the hospital. I was actually admitted, and I stayed about 2.5 days because I started having preterm contractions again, which this is the third time that I'm having preterm contractions due to fibroids. But this time, they thought that I might be going into labor because I am dilating. And they decided to keep me. I went in on a Monday, and they decided to keep me and monitor me and the baby, monitor the baby's heartbeat, monitor my contractions, and they started actually giving me intravenous morphine to deal with the pain. And it's funny because when I tell people that it's easier for me to deal with the pain of the contractions more so than the fibroids, because the pain of the contractions is like regular menstrual cramps. You know, all women know we have different levels of menstrual cramping, but it's more so that, whereas the pain of the fibroids is like an open nerve. So if you ever had a toothache and you needed a root canal, that's kind of what the fibroid pain feels like. And it inflamed my entire stomach, and it got to the point that even the doctors and nurses touching me to maneuver the monitor for the heart monitor, they had to be delicate, very delicate. I could barely walk, I could barely stand, and they could tell I was in a lot of pain. But we got through it, came home, and I just been resting ever since. I've had a lot of things that I had to do. Thank God Kale's off work this week, because I have no idea how I would have been able to do it all, you know, the running around I had to do. I'm happy to say, though, you know, 2013 ended really rough for us, and 2014 began rough. You know, we had two deaths in our families. Two
major deaths. Not that death is ever light, but, you know, there's a difference between what might be a neighbor and a cousin compared to who might be the matriarch or main.
Right.
Exactly. We lost grandmom and mother all within a 2-month period of each other, while finding out that we were with child in between.
Right.
So it was a very difficult end of the summer and end of the year.
Yeah. And then I was laid off in November. So that put some big, big, big financial hardships on us. And, you know, we didn't complain. We didn't know how we were going to get through it.
And that's going to come through later on. We're talking about tonight, too. We ain't begged for no help either. Well, I take that back. We asked for help, but we ain't begged nobody. We got on our knees and we prayed.
Yeah.
And that's what we're going to talk about later on today, too. We stayed faithful, broken faithful. Lord, I ain't never had that much peanut butter in my life.
Peanut butter or wheat. That's what you
I
eat
it
when
positive.
You broke.
I said, I'm going to go work out. I ain't got nothing to eat. Might as well go work out. I lost 17 pounds. Let's go, being poor. What I'm talking about,
it's
I turned
true.
It into something. Fried eggs, bologna. Don't act like this is strange. Anybody listening, because if you ever had it rough, you know what some
boiled
of the quick essentials. Boiled eggs, if you can get them, potatoes. Don't front like potatoes and onions ain't a meal. I will jump through the line and slap them for y'all.
You can make a 100 different meals with some potatoes, fries, mashed,
know that
bait.
What they had was fried potatoes and maybe a piece of meat if you got lucky. Don't act like potatoes was on many a table back in the day and right now. Well, go ahead, Dave. I'm sorry.
No problem. But I'm glad to say, actually, last week I began the final process for a position or my job with New York City.
You're not working.
Will you stop interrupting me, please? Stop interrupting me.
Right,
I'm talking about what I've been going through since the last time we were on the air. And as you can hear, my loving, supportive husband in the background, he does not want me to work. And I understand completely. I understand 100% why he doesn't want me to work, especially with us having a baby. But I did start the process with New York City for a job, and thank God they are allowing me a 90-day medical hold. So they're giving me time to have the baby, which is due any day. I was actually supposed to, my estimated due date was actually March 13th, but the doctor said under the circumstances with the preterm contractions and even the size of the baby, oh my gosh, I found out today how big she is, 8 pounds already with 3 weeks to go, that they believe she's going to come early. She could come any day now. I'm not going to go all the way until March 13th. So I was thankful that the position that I came up for, they said they would give me a medical hold for 90 days, which would give me time to have the baby. And in case I would like to return to work, it's a good opportunity. Also, believe it or not, I have a second opportunity, which tomorrow I have the second part of another job interview with a charter school that's supposed to be opening in September, which is a great opportunity also because it gives me the chance to spend with KL, you know, after she's born, and gives me time to stay home with her. And if I'm chosen for the position, I would actually start in July, and I'm looking forward to that, although my husband does not want me to work. But as we all know, we live in New York City. New York City is expensive, and it takes two incomes. It's difficult to do a one income. I know a few of my friends who have husbands, supportive husbands, and they're doing it with one income, but it's a struggle because New York City is expensive to live here. And eventually, what KL and I are trying to do, we'll talk about that later on, is move out of New York and move to Delaware. So at that point, I can see myself staying home because we won't need two incomes. But as long as we live in the great city of New York, I think we need two incomes. So that's what I've been up to, just taking care of business and trying to get the house together. As much as I can, because I can't really do much. I've been on bed rest for the longest, and I can't wait until she gets here.
Well, listen, for me, it has been an interesting 2 weeks. Well, I mean, I'm glad the week is off, but the last 2 weeks of school, I've learned something about where I am as an educator, and it was humbling, but I think you have to be honest to thy own self, be true. You have to be honest with yourself. My focus has been on getting healthy. I'm happy, you know, I'm down to 17 pounds, as I said before, went to the doctor and got that confirmed and everything. And it's been a real raggedy 2 weeks in trying to make sure I get you to where you got to go. And, you know, I got off my program somewhat, but I did weigh myself. I think I had gained 1 or 2 pounds, but I'm not stressing that because I've taken up juicing and all the things like that. But now, back to what I was saying about school. When the system that you're in puts something new in place, it's very easy to start to get bent out of shape, angry, and refuse to morph with what the new process is, even if the old process worked. It's very easy for senior teachers to go, I know this works, I've done this, I'm going to continue to do this, and I'm just going to buck the system. Now, no one is as non-compliant as I am when it comes to things. I am a rebel. I am the person when everybody goes left, I'm going right just because. But one of the things that's humbling is if you consider yourself a quality anything, educator, entertainer, musician, author, whatever, you have to look at trends. You have to look at where things are going, and you have to be astute enough to know that it's time to morph with that. Now, it doesn't mean that you have to completely give in to anything, but you do have to make sure that your skills coincide with whatever is being asked of you to do. And I always joke, I saw a movie with Danny DeVito, I think it was called Other People's Money, and he was called Larry the Liquidator, and his job was to liquidate businesses and make money for other people using other people's money. One of the things that he said that has stuck with me for years, and actually I saw that movie in one of my business classes when I was going to Kingsborough Community College in Brooklyn, was that he said, think of the last horse and buggy guy. He was probably the last guy because he was very good at what he did. And he probably went out kicking and screaming. But at some point, there was no use for him. And I've always held on to that because I think too often we make ourselves bigger than we really are. We see ourselves bigger than we really are. And then we don't want to change because the changes can be very difficult, and we don't want to seem as if we don't know what we're doing, especially when we've been in a position of strength for a good portion of the time. I was that individual. I am that individual. I'm a very secure educator. I'm a very comfortable and confident educator. And I don't have a problem with change, but what I do have a problem is when I look weak, when I feel weak, when I feel as if I don't have control of my surroundings. That is not a pleasant feeling for someone like me. Well, we've been learning about this new format of teaching that we're supposed to do this year. I've been studying it. I've been paying attention to it. But I thought I had enough knowledge to be able to do the things I need to do. Well, I had my first observation. Yes, this late in the year, I had my first observation under this new format. And the principal, who I have a fantastic relationship with, called me in for the follow-up. We sat down, and as she started to review just from the rubric, now rubric is the guide to make the decision on where you mark my performance. She said, I'm just going by the rubric. It's none of my personal, because you know how I feel about you personally. I said, come on, let's go. As she started to check off developmental, and I'm thinking, my gosh, I'm below level. Because developmental means you're developing into a quality teacher, that you're not on the level that you need to be on. And as she started to read it to me, and we started to reflect on the lesson that she watched, or my lesson plan, I started to realize how far off I was. Now, there were some things I did extremely well. You're not going to just fall off. Listen, all-star basketball player will still be able to do some of the things that made him an all-star, but if the game starts to change, hey. And I honestly, when she was done, I could not disagree with her. I thanked her for giving me the information, and I had to go lick my wounds. I had to sit there, and I said, I used to be a very good teacher in the old system. In this new system, I'm moderate at best. Now, I could have took that one way and just said, hold on. I could have easily said, you know what? The hell with this. You ain't going to tell me what I know. You ain't going to tell me. And I said, I'm being that horse and buggy guy. So I said, okay, I've been home for this week. Tomorrow, Saturday and Sunday, I will get my new lessons together. I will redo the things that I need to do. And from this point on, March, April, May, and June, I will go very hard, like I do with most things, to get myself back in a position needed to be considered that quality educator. Because now it's on me. Because once I know what I'm doing wrong or have an idea, I now have to fix that. But I have to admit, it was extremely humbling, and I have to say it did not feel that good. But I tell you what, we're going to come back to my last 2 weeks. We have a call, and I figured we'd have some folks that want to call in and jump in. So we're going to take a call. We're going to break protocol. We're going to take a call because, you know, we're going to open this up and let some folks get in. We have Brother Minister Arthur Weathersby on the phone, I believe.
Yeah, you believe in right, sir.
Hey, Brother Weathersby.
Brother Weatherby,
amen.
How are you doing,
When you believe, all things are possible.
Amen. That's very true. First and foremost, how are you feeling, brother?
I'm feeling very well, sir. Thank you so much. I really appreciate the concern and everything. I'm doing well.
Excellent, excellent, excellent. Because I know you was fighting with some serious business. We're not going to put your business out there, but I know you had a fight on your hands, so we definitely pray for you.
Yeah, bro, it's a warfare.
It sounded a lot better from when I spoke to you the other day.
Yes, sir. The prayers of the righteous avail as much.
That's true. That's true. So what's going on, brother?
Nothing much, sir. All is well. God is really blessing, and I'm just grateful and thankful. I said, I was out early. They were doing a little bowling, trying to practice up. I said, let me get back here so I can call in and participate with my brothers and sisters' radio program tonight.
We definitely appreciate it, man. And I want to let everybody know that's listening is Brother Weathersby and I have did some work or doing some work currently on his latest book that he has coming out. And I have to be honest, sometimes you can deal with folks that pay you lip service and they don't do the things they're supposed to do. And then you got folks that will say, as soon as I can get this straight, I got you. And that's exactly where we are. We had some conversations in the past and he told me some things he wanted to do. But as soon as he got himself to where he needed to be, we went right forward with the work that we're doing. So I anticipate that work to be done very soon, and I can't wait to see what is actually done with the work that he sent us. So I want to say thank you for choosing Tiff and I to handle your literary work.
Well, praise God, sir. I just represent. I just understand and appreciate when things are done in excellence, and particularly when, as the Bible tells us, that people are within the household of faith. We're supposed to bless those that are that labor among us. Amen. And I'm just grateful and thankful that God has afforded me an opportunity to come into association with someone who I know to be of the right ilk.
Thank you. Thank you. We appreciate that. But here's what I'm going to do, brother. What I want you to do is, because I know you're going to stay on and listen to the show. When we announce what the subject of tonight is, and I already put it on Facebook so I can give people a glimpse, it's really, when do you stop leaning on other people? When is that time to say it's time to stop leaning or waiting on others to do things? When is that period? And actually, we're going to talk about that a little bit later on. So I definitely want you to call back in on that subject if you choose to, because we're going to go back to that. So if you don't mind, definitely call back in if you have thoughts on that. But we're definitely going to introduce that to everybody in a little.
Sound like a plan, sir. I don't mind talking about it. That's a very great, interesting topic.
Appreciate it. So this is Brother Arthur Minister, Minister Arthur Weathersby. And actually, I tell you what, brother, before you go, tell them the titles of your books so this way if they're interested in looking and checking you out, they know exactly what to do.
Well, praise the Lord. God bless you, sir. I have two books. My first two books are in publication right now presently with Zulon Press. And you can go to ZulonPress.com and pick those up online. It's Unless God Builds the House, which is in association with Psalm 127:1a, which says, Unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain. And this is dealing with relationship building and focus on the marriage. And the second book that was published last year is called Check the DNA, What Happened to We, Our Family. And obviously it deals with family relationship. And my ministry is relationships, and in both books, God has clearly shown me that if we're not operating the way that we should be within our marriages and our family and even interpersonal relationships, there's no way that you're doing it right with Him. And that's for the body of Christ.
Excellent. Excellent. So, brother, we definitely going to have you come back on because, you know what, definitely have some thoughts on that. And everybody, please check out this gentleman. He's been real. He's been real in doing this thing and definitely somebody to be supported. So, brother, I want to thank you for chiming in. We're going to move on a little bit. Feel free to definitely call back in. We'd like to hear your thoughts.
Absolutely.
All right, brother. God bless. Brother
God bless
Minister
you too,
Arthur Weathersby.
Yes.
Yeah.
I'm here.
God bless
I'm here.
You too, sister. I can't leave you out.
It's okay.
Y'all are one, right?
Yes.
Yes, we are.
Okay.
I just do all the speaking.
I'm just saying.
I do all the speaking.
That's all right. I know protocol, though, bro.
Well, it's like Romans. Everybody.
You can get in trouble if you want to, but I'm not.
He's already sleeping on the couch. He ain't got nothing to worry about. We good money.
Well, I'm staying cool, bro.
There you go. Thanks a lot, brother.
You're welcome.
Brother Weathersby, definitely check out that brother. So like I was saying, I appreciate the brother. We're working on some good things. But like I was saying to everyone is that I say all that for this reason. You cannot allow yourself to be so caught into yourself that you don't want to learn and become better at what you do. When I came home, I do like I do with everything. I sat down, I spoke to Tiff about it, and then I said to her, I said, but you know what, Dom? If I do this, if I can get this done, I actually can become a better teacher for future things that I'm trying to do. And she said, yep. So you know what you gotta do. That's one thing I want to point out to anyone listening. Do not stew in that by yourself. Take it to someone who you trust and let them listen to your dilemma. And then hold on now. Shut up and let them explain to you that you're wrong. And then deal with it. I honestly made it about me because I wanted to believe I was still that dude. Okay, if the system has changed, I got to change. Listen, a mechanic on a 57 Chevy may tell you how wonderful a 57 Chevy is. But if you pull up with a 2014 Cadillac, he can't treat it like a 57 Chevy, no matter how great he was on a 57 Chevy.
Absolutely.
He has to learn how to take care of the 2014 Cadillac. And you know what? I've always criticized senior teachers when they didn't want to use email. They didn't want to use the technology, and parents were saying, well, how come you didn't text me, or how come we didn't Skype and all this other stuff? I now can't turn around and be fraudulent and act like those same teachers that I was getting at. So I have been learning, and that has been my 2 weeks. And, of course, taking care of my wife. You know, it's funny. Some people will say, you're doing such a wonderful job. That's my job. I don't have to carry the baby. I'm not the one in pain. I don't have a fibroid. My job is to make sure any opportunity that I can to make sure that Tiff doesn't have to walk, other than me making her walk, because she will just lay around and do nothing. But
why would you say that? That is not true. You know that I have tried to do as much as possible.
Yes. Just like I said, we're working. You know, this is an ongoing debate. I know her logic. I understand her logic. I hear her logic. But I want her home with the baby for the first year because that's how important I believe that bonding is for both. And if I got to work more, fine. If I got to do more, fine. If I got to hit the road and I got to drive from Ohio to North Carolina to Delaware to Pennsylvania to Maryland, wherever, to sell books, to do what I do, is what I'm going to do to make sure my wife is comfortable. So I think I appreciate it. I appreciate all the thanks and the pats on the back, but I'm doing what I'm supposed to do as a husband, or definitely trying to. And, you know, that's what it is. So really, that's what my 2 weeks have been. I'm excited to go back to school because now it's March. Another month and a half, it'll be Easter break, and then the school year will be over, and then that's when I do my heavy grind for my books. And so I'm excited by that. Also, my 2 weeks, really just I started juicing. A friend of ours purchased the NutriBullet for us, and I started using it. And I have to admit, I found a combination of things that I like. So spinach, carrots, bananas, and berries, and some orange juice has been tremendous. So I'm trying to replace certain meals with juicing. Actually, I'm getting up in the morning and trying to have a big serving in the morning, and I'm good. Maybe another one during the day. I'm not sure. I'll see. And, of course, getting back to my regular workout regimen. I think what's funny is how all these people now want to give me advice. I take it. I listen. No disrespect to anyone. But it's like they forgot I went to school, that I have a degree in physical education with a minor in health education. And where was all this advice when I was killing myself? But I'll take it because I used it as motivation.
Some people don't want to be offensive. And you can give somebody advice, and the first thing they'll say is, the other person will say is, oh, I didn't ask you for your advice. So who asked that person for the advice? So sometimes people just sit back and they wait to see what you're going to do.
I got you. And I've seen that. And one thing I have said, you got to surround yourself with people who are doing. That's the other thing I forgot. So let me back it up a second. if you want to get to that next level of whatever, I spend a ton of time paying attention to that. Whatever that next level is for you, you've got to surround yourself with people who are at least doing what they need to do on your level, or be the dude in the back seat in the car at the next level, so at least you're there and learning. But either way, you've got to be with people who's in motion. You can't be with people who's 4, 5, 6 levels behind you and spending tremendous energy on helping them get to your level when it's keeping you from your next level. Now, I'm not saying not to help. I'm saying that people have to get in where they are, do what they do. But first, you got to make sure you're straight. And that is what I've done with my health. I've reduced, and I said this on previous shows, I've reduced everything to 3 goals: fitness, spiritual, and writing. Those are my 3 areas of focus. If you're not helping me in one of those 3 areas, I need to put you to the side right now. It is not that I'm disrespecting you or not considering you. I got to focus on the things that are important for me, so when I get there, I can then turn and be able to help you. And so I've needed to separate myself from certain folks because the level that I'm trying to get to within my own body does not require me to carry the weight of somebody else, because Lord knows I got enough weight on this frame myself. And so that's another thing too, is just I'm happy with the number of folks who have come out to offer support, because it seems like there's like a whole other window that opens up when you're doing that. People turn, they go, okay, he's getting it done, so now let me reach back. And I'm like, wow, I didn't know. And I'm taking that information and I'm learning, and I'm hopefully I'll be able to turn around and give that to somebody else. So my 2 weeks have been, as usual, productive. I try not to waste time, and with the baby coming, I'm excited. So here's what we're going to do. You are listening to Reality and Relationships every Thursday night from 8 to 10 on GQ Palace Radio, right here on blogtalkradio.com, every Thursday night from 8 to 10 with my lovely wife, Tiffany Braxton Belvin, and myself. We're going to take a 2-song break, and then we're going to come back, do the news, and then we're going to get into tonight's subject. When is that time to let some folks go or stop leaning on other people? We're going to discuss that. Something that my grandmother hated. Oh, anyway, we will definitely talk about that when we come back from break. 2-song break. We'll see you in a few.
Hey, hey, it's Lavina, and on Thursday night, I spend my time chilling with the Belvins, KL and Tiffany Belvin, Reality and Relationship, on GQ Palace Radio from 8 to 10, calling with those relationship questions they got to answer. Butter, baby.
You did me wrong, but I've been through storming. GQ Palace GQ Radio. Palace.
GQ Palace.
Yo, what's good? This is Casanova Rudd from the group Super Lover C and Casanova Rudd. You know, the golden era of hip-hop, baby. You are now tuned in to GQ Palace Radio.
Yeah, what's good, y'all? It's your boy, Mikey D, a.k.a. Playboy Mikey D, a.k.a. Mikey D Structure, formerly of Main Source in the L.A. Posse, currently with Elements of Hip Hop. Y'all already know what it is. Right now, you're tuned into GQ Palace. Keep it locked.
GQ Palace Radio.
Thursday night from 8 to 10 p.m. I sit back, relax, and listen to GQ Palace Radio, Reality and Relationship with KL and Tiffany Belvin. It's butter, baby.
Yo, what up? What up? Peace, world. This your boy, Mellow Man Ace. And right now, you got it locked on GQ Palace Radio.
GQ Palace Radio. GQ Palace Radio.
GrandAgent.net, real Grand Agent, Twitter and IG. I'm in the GQ Palace, so as far as I can tell, it's all good. Let's do it.
Ooh,
GQ Power Radio.
What up, what up, peace world, this your boy Mellow Man Ace, and right now you got it locked on
GQ
Palace Radio.
Back to Reality and Relationships, the GQ Palace DJ never disappoints. Love it when we take those old school walks back down the lane. I like that. You know, sometimes it makes me think of the party. Well, anyway, forgot the wife is on the line. Anyway, welcome back to Reality. Welcome back to Reality and Relationships. We are here, and we are going to get right into the news. And if you're listening on the computer, feel free to call in. 646-200-3838. If you want to speak to Tip and I, you want to get in and add your thoughts to the conversation or just say hello and welcome us back after a two-week hiatus, just press 1 once you've got in. Let the host know who you are. The host will let us know that you're there, and you come on in and we talk. Don't be scared. We don't bite unless you try to get rude and disrespectful, because then I will blow you up and then say you got to go. But it is what it is. So. No, but the idea is that we definitely welcome commentary, we definitely welcome feedback, so we definitely want to hear from you. Also, remember, GQ Palace Radio, if you weren't listening to the drops in between the music, is that they are connected to many folks within many different levels of this music game and radio game. There are shows on every night at this same station. All you have to do is go to blogtalkradio.com/GQ Palace. Roll through the archives and take a look at and listen to the different shows. Pick one. Go on. See if you like it. There's a description there for every show that's there. Find one that you like. Support them the same way that you are supporting us, because we are all under the same umbrella. And this is different radio. It is not the same usual stuff that you hear beating you in the head every day on some of the other stations. This is an up-and-coming, growing situation. And it is a situation that needs to be fed by support. And anytime you have folks of color who are doing what they're supposed to do, I personally feel it is your job. Yes, I said your job to support that, because we got enough trash that's being placed out there into the ears and minds and hearts of individuals. This needs to be supported. So I'm jumping off my soapbox, but I definitely want to tell you GQ Palace Radio needs to be supported. And definitely Tiff and I need to be supported too, because this is what we do every Thursday night. As well as if you want to listen to the archives, we post the shows up That is very important because the hits from you listening are registered back to GQ Palace, which allows them to go out and make connections that expand the listening audience. That is www.klbelvin.blogspot.com. By clicking on the show from my site, GQ Palace will get the record recorded that it needs, as well as you can listen to it from the blogtalkradio.com site. So you have various sites to listen to the archives. Make it happen. Well, honey.
Yes, sir.
The news, and I'm always scared when I say the news with you, because Lord knows, but it is what it is, and these are desperate times. So what's going on in the news tonight, or this week, or the last 2 weeks?
Well, anyway, before we get to the news, I wanted to mention that this week, KL and I will be at AMF Garden City Lanes, Garden City Bowling Lanes in Garden City, Long Island.
Right off the Meadowbrook Parkway.
Right.
One of my pageant sisters,
Natalie Sandy, she has actually worked at, she works currently as a residence manager for the mentally and emotionally challenged, and she's been in the field for a number of years now. And each year, this is actually the second year, but each year she holds fundraisers for the Special Olympics. This is the second year of the ball gowns and bowling shoes event that's being held at ANF Garden City Bowling Lanes. And it begins at 9:30 in the evening and ends at midnight. And yes, we were there last year. KL actually was the king of ball gowns and bowling shoes.
Who was the king?
My husband, KL, was the king of ball gowns and bowling shoes last year. He was the highest scoring male of the evening.
Get it right.
And he's going back this weekend, this Saturday,
to defend his crown. I ain't got to reclaim nothing. I got it. I am defending it. I ain't got to reclaim nothing. It ain't went nowhere. The crown is staying home. Thank you.
He's going to defend his crown. And unfortunately, I can't bowl this year. I wish I could, but I will be there in support of Natalie. Again, she's raising funds for the Special Olympics. So if you can join us, please do. And we would look forward to seeing you.
It's a great job, fun event, great folks, nice bowling alleys. So definitely worth the trip out to Long Island.
Yes. As far as bad news, I don't have any bad news. I actually wanted to mention, because as of February 7th, the 2014 Winter Olympics began. It ends on February 23rd in Sochi, Russia. And I just wanted to mention that right now the United States is ahead in the number of medals won.
They blew the gold medal in hockey, the women. They were up 2-0 with 3 minutes left, punch in the face, lost in overtime. They got the silver medal.
So far, we have a total of 25 medals. That's with 8 gold medals, 6 silver, and 11 bronze. The next country behind us is Russia. They have 23 medals. And then Norway, 21. Norway actually has the most gold medals.
Norway.
I'm sorry?
Well, this is their Olympics. Norway is a cold weather country. This is what they do.
Yeah, they have 10 gold medals. They have 10 gold, 4 silver, and 7 bronze. So they're actually, if you wanted to make put the weight on how many gold medals, Norway is definitely beating everyone else.
That's all that counts. Who's in the gold?
Yeah.
You don't care about silver. Who cares about second place? Did you see people patting Dempsey back for losing? Nobody cares about second place. People like the champ. Just tell us about the champ. Norway is leading in gold medals. That's all you need to know. I don't care about the silver and bronze. Come on. Two other people beat you. Just sit there and be quiet.
Oh, stop it. Stop it. You know, it's funny because
gold or nothing. That's the way I feel. Gold or nothing. Gold or get back on the plane.
When I was growing up, I used to love to watch the Olympics, the Winter Olympics and the Summer Olympics. But now as an adult, I rarely have time to tune in to watch any of the sports. But I like the fact that America is ahead in the medals. I wish they would have won a few more gold medals, but, you know, we're doing our thing. So, the next thing I wanted to talk about, and it's so funny, honey, I wanted to share this article with you earlier, but we didn't have time. I came across an article about an African-American family, husband and wife, who actually have 15 children. And the reason why, of course, it came up is because, of course, we're having our baby. But also, someone asked earlier in the week, do people really have families of that size anymore? And obviously, they do, because the African-American family, they are...
How do you spell?
What'd you say?
Hello?
Oh, I thought you said something. But the Atkins are from Georgia, and their children range in ages from 3 days old, because they just recently had a newborn, 3 days old to 24 years old. And when I looked at the ages, I said, oh, my goodness, she was pregnant practically every year for the past 24 years. The wife is 43. Mother Atkins is 43. Her husband is 45. Her husband actually has three jobs. He's a U.S. major in the Army Reserve. He's a manager of a retail chain, and he's also a church pastor. So I just thought, how wild is that for them to have 15 children in this day and age?
Woo! 15. Yeah, we got to talk 15. About that. I might have to go get something
and
cut.
Listen, they're making it work. They're making it work. So they're a happy family. They said, you know, they used to have too many vans, which made it difficult for them to get around. So they just recently purchased a 15-passenger Ford van so that they could all travel at the same time. And they get a kick out of it. And they've been approached about doing a reality show. But thank God they have a good head on their shoulders, because they're not trying to do ratchet television. So they said if a good opportunity presents itself, they may decide to do a reality show, but so far they're holding out because they want to show the positive of being a family of that size. It reminds me of the other show, I forgot their name. But they
I don't watch reality shows. I have no idea.
Yeah, they have 18 children, and their clan is amazing, too. So, actually, the Atkins come up with a reality show, I would love to watch that just to see.
I want you to hold that thought because, you know, we've been away for 2 weeks, so I want you to hold that thought.
We have a call?
Now, I have a call. Before the call comes on, I want everybody to go. One of the things that we said we were going to talk about tonight is when do you basically cut that umbilical cord and stop waiting on others to do what you need them to do, or when is the time just to leave folks alone and do your thing? Because sometimes in waiting on others, it can be so frustrating, or it can actually be debilitating depending on what the connection is. And Tiff and I do have some stories to tell you, but I want to bring on a guest. She is not only a personal friend of mine, she is somebody that just posted about this the other day, and that's why I hit her up and said, I want you to come on because it fit what we're talking about. Amina, are you there, love?
Yes, I am. Hi.
Hey. Amina Cole?
Okay.
Yes. Hey, darling, how are you? I'm great, mommy-to-be. I'm so excited for you and so happy for you guys. Oh,
thank
I can't
you.
Wait to see
thank
Dave
you.
Thank you.
Oh,
thank
my goodness,
so
this is so long.
I know. I've been away. Look, KL knows why. I've been away.
Yeah. But you've been doing, everything that you've been doing, you've been making it happen. And you know what? When I posted up the show tonight and I saw that you'd hit the like button, it just automatically the Lord put it on my spirit. I got to have her call in because you and I talk, and you and I go way back, and you and I have traveled similar paths and have stayed connected to each other for so long, which makes our friendship so much better now because of the routes that we have taken to get here. And, you know, I knew this was something that I said, you know, I definitely want to hear her thoughts on it. So let me get right to it and ask you this. You posted the other day about people paying lip service to supporting you. And Tiff and I, as independent business folks and as workers for hire in the literary field and in the full-figured modeling field, we know what it is to have folks smiling, shaking your hand, and then when you have an event, you have something together, no one shows up, and then there's a thousand excuses come in from the car blew up to I flew to the moon.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
To, you know, my dog turned into a cat, and I needed to have that investigated. You know, all the different things. So I want you to just talk briefly about, you know, that post that you put up, and you recently had something that you were doing that sparked that. So I want folks to hear from you, guys.
Okay. I'm one who believes in if you talk the talk, you got to walk the walk.
Amen.
Don't just say you're going to be there for me and that you're going to have my back and turn around and when I really need the support, you're nowhere to be found. And like you said, making up all kinds of excuses. I'm at a point in time in my life right now where I don't have time for the BS. So I'm going to make it happen regardless whether you're with me or you're not. You know, I have some ride or die individuals who've always been with me through the good and the bad, such as yourself, KL. And
thank you
know, those are the people on my way up, and when I get to the top, will be there with me. I'm gonna pull them right up to me if they're not ready. Okay.
Excellent.
You know, it's really difficult when, especially in with you two guys, I like totally admire and love your relationship, because it's very difficult when you're in the entertainment field like I am to be involved with someone and that someone understand, you know, what it takes to be in the entertainment industry. And, you know, I've been in relationships where, you know, I had a guy I was dating for a while, and he was my manager as well as my man, and it was very difficult mixing business and pleasure and personal life together. So I definitely commend you guys for doing what you
thank
do.
You.
It's a beautiful
you.
Thing.
Thank you.
But, yeah, I found it really difficult because, you know, he found himself wearing so many different hats with me. And I thought it was going to be easy because I'm like, okay, well, you're going to have my best interest at heart because you're my man, not only my manager. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
That way.
So let me ask you a question. Let me ask you this, because I know with Tiff and I, and that's something that we definitely, I can't say pride ourselves on, but I make it my business to distance myself from anything that I think is going to bring negativity or anything to what she's doing. Like, I purposely stayed away from many of the pageant events that she was a part of earlier because of my history and my past with the way that I caroused. I didn't want anything negative about me flowing over to her while she was establishing herself in business. And people took that as, well, Big Dog doesn't want to show up, or where's Big Dog? And they still ask where I'm at, but they don't know the reasoning mm-hmm. behind. This is just what we
right.
choose to do. So let me ask you a question. When talking to, and I know you do a lot of mentoring, I know you actually ask people to come to you because you have a talent agency that actually looks to put people in place to do things. When is it that time to just outright release that person? When is it, like, what should a person actually say to themselves when they get to that point? Like, what should they look for, really, when it's just time to say, you know what, I'm done because I can't with that person?
Right. I mean, there are so many red flags. If you really, really sit and look at some of the things that happen, you know, in your relationships or in your dealings with people, there are so many red flags that go up, and you need to start taking heed to those red flags. I mean, just recently, within the last month, I've come into a situation where I thought I was almost going through the same thing I went through in my past relationship, and I had to put a stop to it right away. I said, no, enough isn't, I'm not going back to that again. So it's like, you need to nip it in the bud right in the beginning. I mean, you can love a person, you can care for a person, but you know what's right for you. And if it's not right, and especially if it's not of God, then you don't need to deal with it.
Okay, see, now you're opening that door. I'm glad you did, because I don't want people going to hear KL preaching again. No, but that's something extremely important, what you just said, is what role, and I always ask, what role does your faith play in what you do? Because if your faith is a major role, then it'll open up the door for you to be able to see who you really should have around you or not. To me, faith is actually a great indicator and actually a separator for what you really need to have. Because if you have a manager or a partner or boyfriend, girlfriend, whatever, and what they're doing is opposite what your faith is, now you automatically have a disagreement with God. And that should be a clear red flag to anyone that, wait a minute, what you're asking me to be a part of is opposite my faith. We can't go that route. And that was one of the things I actually had written down for tonight, was to say you got to have indicators to things that just are not acceptable. And when someone is pressing those indicators and saying that it's for the business or for your career, right there should be a key reason for you to go, we're done. I can't, because I'm not going to put myself in opposition to my God to make some money.
That's right. That's right. I mean, we've all had paths, and we've all done things that we may not even be so proud of, but it's not about where we were. It's about where we're at now. And those things that we've done do not define us. They don't make us. It's who we are today and what we're about today. And I just want to just add on to what you were saying about, you know, when to get people. I pray on everything, and I pray and I say, God, if this person is not for me, take them away. Plain and simple. And I tell you, a day or two is something that is just like, nope, cut, you're fired. That's it.
Exactly. You know,
he may not work when you want him, but he always works when it's right on time.
So true. And I'm glad you said that, because some people are scared to admit it to themselves. Some people are scared to make that step. I find that you actually have to be bold in your faith if that's what you claim. And you got to be willing to stand all by yourself if that's what you claim, because not everybody's going to understand. There's times that I will offer assistance to someone when everyone else is saying this person is whatever. And I go, how do we know that? And automatically I might become the bad guy. Or when we're doing business, I may say to someone, I don't want your money. And they go, excuse me, I thought you said you about, and they can go through all the theatrics that they want. But at the end of the day, I am not compromising who I am, what I believe, because you have an opportunity for me. And I think the greatest thing about faith, especially those that have faith will understand this, is that the spirit that we possess, if you give it an opportunity to work, it will reveal what someone is about before you get deeper. Now, you might have to give some skin. Let's keep it real. You might have to take a whipping on the back. You might have to have a part of your past exposed that you may not want. But if you stop the minute that you realize that it is something negative, you don't have to go as deep as you would have. And you will heal from whatever it is that went on, but you got to believe that. And when you step away, do not have doubt. Don't sit there and go, did I do the right thing? Should I? If you knew it was based on your faith, step away from it. Let it go. Let that person
go. That's right.
Wish that person well. Say, I hope you make millions of dollars. Because when we get to the gates, you can't take it with you.
That's right.
We're going to get to the gate, whatever we got, but it won't be with a handful of money. So I'm willing to risk that. And even if it means I got to sit back and watch somebody else do extremely well. Second thing is, do not begin to hate the individual that you let go.
Never.
Do not begin to wish the person negative that you let go. Don't pray to God to kill them. Don't pray to God that their house burned down. Don't pray to God that you wish you had all that they had. No. What might be for them right now may be something that you don't even want to have, because you don't know what's going to come from that.
That's
right. And I think anybody listening, when you sit and consider who you're dealing with, stop and ask, are you risking everything? Because you might be playing somebody else's game, and they have you thinking it's all about you.
That's right. I'm a witness.
So what else is going on, Dow? Let the folks know a little bit about who you are and what you do while we have you on.
Okay. Nina Cole is an actress, a singer, a plus model. I'm a writer and an entrepreneur. I have a company called Not Your Average Talents, which is the premier plus-size entertainment company.
There we go. There we go. Give them the website.
We work with plus-size models, actors, singers, dancers, comedians, whatever your talent is. We work with you. We try there. We try to find jobs for you. I get castings all day, every day. I'm always, you know, calling somebody up and say, listen, such and such, this casting just came in. I think it would be perfect for you. I think you need to go on it. You know, I just try to help the plus-size entertainers get out there because, you know, we're so discriminated against. Even in our own plus-size community,
yes,
we're discriminated. The plus size do discriminate against the plus size.
Yes.
And let me let you know, your talent has nothing to do with the number size of your dress, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And I always tell people, I'd rather be judged by the size of my talent than the size of my body.
Mm-hmm.
So,
and don't get it twisted, ladies. There's sharks. There's sharks embedded in the plus size community of who are plus size. Or who do not care whatsoever about plus size, but will smile because in the belief that your self-esteem is so low that you'll be accepting to whatever they bring to the table because they're there. So be mindful.
Well, preach. Okay, definitely. But really, I mean, I think plus, I think all people are beautiful. It doesn't matter what shape or size you are. Doesn't matter. I mean, I work with great size people as well. It doesn't matter to me. You know, my thing is to give and to help others. You know,
yeah,
a lot of people
exactly.
don't know the things that I've done in the past. I've been acting in off-Broadway plays since I was 14 years old. I've been in all kinds of plays and musicals, community theater, up into just off-Broadway. So I always want to give back. And I'm continuing. I'm working. I made my goal this year to bring myself back out again, get some agents, get some work. I'm writing. I'm about to make my own web series about myself, basically. It's going to be a web series about a struggling actress, model, singer, and just the different obstacles that she faces in her life. And, you know, it's going to be like, I'm going to try to make it into like a weekly web series. And people will be able to relate to it. And
well,
I'll
give
be,
them
you
your
know,
information.
Helping people out.
Give
okay,
that. I mean,
sure.
I'm going to cut you off. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to cut you off because I want folks to get your information as you're speaking. I want them to have it because, you know, folks like to Google and like to jump on people's websites while they're speaking. But give them your information while you're talking simply because they really need to know how to reach you because of the things that you do. You are a tremendous person. So I really want them to have that information. That's the reason why I keep jumping in to give it to them because some folks get, you know, sidetracked. And then they start watching whatever.
Well, you can definitely Google me, okay? I know I got several pages on Google right now. Google me. Ina Cole, that's spelled AminaCole. But no, on Facebook, you can reach me under Amina Cole or actress, singer, model Amina Cole.
Nice.
It's my public page. I have Not Your Average, facebook.com/NotYourAverageTalents with an S. You can look up more information on my company at www.NotYourAverageTalents.com. And you can find out more about me at www.AminaCole.com. So, you know,
excellent,
I'm definitely
excellent.
definitely branding myself and my company and just, you know, trying to really get out there and get on so I can help others as well.
Excellent. Right, so now, before you go, here's what I want you to do. I want you to share with that young man, a young lady who might be full-figured but are having doubts on how to actually get past their fears of their size. Because one of the things that I have always loved about you is that you are brave. You will grab the mic. You will do your thing. If it's an opportunity to showcase your talent, you're going to do what you do. And I think that's necessary for us to be brave when we're folks of size because society wants to hold doors closed to us. So we actually have to kick those doors open and hold them open for other people. So what would you say to that young person or even older person, forget that, with, you know, life is what it is, that person who's scared about their size and how to get into motion to start to do the things that you actually provide.
You need to look in the mirror and see the beauty within yourself. You need to love yourself and know that nobody can judge you but God, and that's when you meet your maker. Worry about what anybody else has to say. Don't let anybody tell you you can't. I don't care how young you are, how old you are, how big or small you are. You're beautiful, and you have to know that for yourself. It doesn't matter what's gone on in your past, what you've been through in your past. It's up to you to make your future.
Amen.
And
darling,
I mean,
you know what?
All I...
Go ahead. Don't finish. Go ahead. I thought you were done. Go ahead,
darling. I was going to say that, you know, you just have to know that you have talent and you have gifts within yourself that you need to share with the world, that the world is waiting to see. And that's how I look at it every day. You know, I had a sick mom that I took care of for many years. God bless her soul. May she rest in peace.
Amen.
You know, I did my duty as a daughter, and I said, you know, now it's time to take back my life and live my life and take my talents and share them with the world. And that's what, you know, I can't stress that anymore to anybody else. Don't wait. You know, tomorrow's not promised to us.
Listen, y'all, let me tell y'all something while I have her on. I want to say this publicly. I love this young lady because she had many reasons to fold up. She had many excuses to say, I'm done, that's it. But instead, she kept pushing. She kept reinventing herself. As you get to know her and as her stories come out, whether through the internet, through the books that she's working on, through anything that she does, as you grow to learn this woman, I mean really get to know her, you're going to find that the strength that she has internally that she's clung to help her get to where she's at, those words that she just gave you are tremendous because she's lived it. It's not some made up, ooh, let me read a Les Brown book and just repeat what I've heard. No. Her and I have had conversations about trying to just keep focused on just making it. And I've seen her, and then we've traveled those circles, and we've been in those environments where some folks will go, you know what, I'm just going to stay here because I'm comfortable, and I don't care how negative it is. I'm just going to stay here because that's all I'm worth. She's passed that to be a mother, and she continues to keep pushing to be a role model. When she had reasons to say, to hell with everything, I'm just going to do me, and I don't care what anybody thinks. She's always concerned herself with being better. And I want to say that publicly, that I appreciate you and I love you. And you have been a big supporter of Tiff and
I.
And we will continue to do the same. Anything that you need from us, you just let us know. And whatever we can do, we're going to be there. So, yeah. And you're going to come back on, too. Actually, I'm going to hit you up because I want to have you back on where we can actually sit down and we'll script out a whole show where we can actually, folks can really get to know as much as you want them to know. So we definitely want to have you back on. So I'm going to openly ask you on the air, and then I'll definitely set something up to have you come back in the future, because I think that's another part of dealing with relationships that people need to understand, and I think you have a tremendous story.
Great. Thank you so much. I love you both. I love you,
thank
KL.
You.
Look, start from the bottom now, we're here.
That's it. Darling, thank you so much for calling in, and we're going to talk real soon. That is the fantastic Mina Cole,
thank
everyone.
You.
That is the fantastic Mina Cole. Let me tell you something. Hit her up on Facebook. Do the Google searches. Check this woman out, because I know a lot of people, and I connect and try to connect with a lot of people, and I try to do the things that I do, and I don't have much, but the one thing that I love is when you see someone take something that you offer and then they run with it and do the best they can. You don't always have to benefit from it, but when you see someone that you've attempted to help actually doing well, you have to cheer for them. So definitely check out Mina Cole. You know, that opens up the door to today's subject. Like I said, we've been talking about when to cut somebody loose. You know, tonight I had a situation online and it bothered me. It still bothered me. That's why I'm bringing it up and talking about it. I always want to help others. It's been this way since I was young, and it has come at the detriment sometimes of to myself. I've lost a tremendous amount in trying to help others. I've been broke trying to help others, and I've taken mega losses trying to help others, but yet I don't let that stop me. And this is all before I knew the Lord, and of course, after changing my life and learning who the Lord was, I even more so wanted to help others. But when somebody gets mad at the way that you're helping them, before I flare off and before I get disrespectful, and Tip will tell you, because Tip is actually the more violent one. Don't get it twisted.
I am not
Tip
violent.
Like, Tip,
do,
like,
not
I don't
put that out in, do not put that
Tip
out
will,
in the universe.
All right, hold on a second. Let me clean this up. Tip will say, I don't know why you're wasting your time, because she's not as patient. Let's do it that way.
I don't
she's
sugarcoat.
Not patient
I don't sugarcoat things.
Huh? Yeah, she don't sugarcoat things. You gonna get the medicine, no applesauce, no nothing. She gonna grab you by your throat. So I feel for Kale when she gets sick. I might have to go in and go, hold on, let me get you, baby, because your mom gonna be straight. Open your mouth, take this, because it's what you need. I attempt to help people in a way that I'm not demonstrative, but here's the mistake that some people make. And Tiffany is gonna laugh when I say this. I am not sympathetic to people's plight. I am empathetic. Now, let me please understand what I'm saying. I don't do sympathy. It doesn't move me. It doesn't shake me. You can't get me to move off a edge because of sympathy. But I do empathize with people on a regular basis. It's what allows me to motivate myself to do more, because I'll say, wow, I know what that feels like, or imagine what that feels like. But sympathy, Tiff can tell you. I am the last cat to get sympathy. So don't attempt the pity party, because I'll burn your house down with you in it. Because to me, sympathy is a useless emotion. For me, I mean, I'm giving my own point of view. These are not my views.
You're
going to
get hate mail.
I'll get the hate mail. These are not the views of GQ Palace. These are not the views of Tiffany Braxton Belvin. These are the views of K.L. Belvin. I don't believe sympathy is necessary in the world. I believe that we should empathize with individuals, see where they're coming from, and then meet them where they're at to help them. But the minute that you show pity, oh, my God, what about me? And I can't believe. Stop. Stop. Because you know what? There's somebody else in a worse situation. And then now the question becomes, did you do all the things that you were supposed to do and then didn't get? See, I believe in the subject at hand. You cut a person off the minute they start feeling sorry for themselves. If you really want help, and I always ask this, do you really want help? Then if you really want help, then you got to listen and let's go. It's like, how do you go into a doctor's office, complain about why you're sick, then when the doctor goes to give you medicine, go, I don't want that medicine. Hold up. Didn't you get sick? Did you come in here? Ain't I a professional?
Mm-hmm.
So I just think sometimes online, people don't really know each other. And if you got issues or problems, there are people who genuinely really want to help. I am one of those individuals. I really want to help other people, but not at the cost of my character, not at the cost of my dignity. And I'm not going to waste time patting you on the back for little things when there's making things to get done. Now, some people say, but sometimes you got to get credit for the little things. Find a person who likes to do that. If the job says do 10 things, don't expect to get paid for doing 4. Do the 10 and then get paid. Don't do the 4 and turn around and go, I'm tired. It's not working. I got hurt. I'm sore. Can I get paid for the 4? You can catch this foot to the behind and take me to court.
You know what,
because
I think it is also? I think that sometimes people don't realize the constraints of what you have as far as being able to lend your support also. I think sometimes people do a comparison. Well, if I'm able to do ABC, then you should be able to do ABC. And they don't understand that they don't know what's going on in your life where you may not be able to do as much as they can, but you can do this. And I find that a lot.
What I'm doing for me doesn't mean I can do that for you. What you
right.
and I might be doing doesn't mean I can, that you and I can make that happen for another couple.
Right. And I agree. But I find that a lot that even now, like, I'm home, and unfortunately I can't get around the way I used to. So there's little things that I can do. People contact me, Tiffany, can you revamp my resume? Can you proofread this for me? Can you? And I'm like, yeah, because I'm home anyway. I'm not doing anything. But unfortunately, I can't attend your event. So, you know, and being that I don't have a job right now, I can't buy a ticket to your event, but I might be able to post it on my Facebook page. But, see, a lot of times I think people feel like, oh, you're not doing all you could do for me. And they don't understand that there are some constraints, whether it's financial, whether it's physical, whether it's we have a lot on our plate. Because I think sometimes people don't realize how much KL and I have on our plate. And then
you know what?
They
Hold on a second. You sugarcoat me. Sometimes what you're doing is not connected to anything that we're doing. Play your
place.
Play your place. Sometimes, listen, if I'm dealing with salads right now, don't start yelling and screaming about, how come you ain't handling the meats? Did you just hear what I said I'm dealing with right now? Now, that doesn't mean that what you're dealing with is less important. It means right now this is where my focus is. But if you're patient, I'll get there if I can. And if I can't, I'm going to be honest with you. But I think what has to happen is, what was your expectations going in? And what have you done? You know what I found is that folks on a higher level, they know what you're going through because they went through it to get to that level. So you can't come to them and go, can you give me? Right there, you're done. Right there. Give. But if you put the work in, put that sweat and tears in, it's going to hurt. And then you show up to somebody and say, well, I've done X, Y, and Z. I don't know how to do this, this, and this. A person, many people, not all, because some people at the next level are going to say, so what? Do what you got to do. But some are going to say, I know exactly what you're having a problem with. Do this. Now, they still are not going to do it for you. But they'll tell you what to do, and then now you have to do it. And here's the reason why information is powerful. If you do what they say, and like a video game, a door opens up for you to go to another level. They have helped you immensely because any money that you make from that next level is attributed to them.
Mm-hmm.
That's why you have to cut people off who are pulling you from going somewhere else that could be profitable. If people can't see your vision and they're mad because of their vision doesn't match yours, okay, then you know what? Even though it may bother you, you got to let them go. Now, I got upset because I was thinking, I said, well, what else could it, what did I do or what did I do wrong? And then I had to catch myself and say, you know, I do what I've been doing. I offered some help. But then I started to look at it, and I always step back, and I said, does the person have a point to what they're saying? I said, I can understand. See, here's the empathetic part. I can understand where they're coming from. I don't agree with it, so I'm going to react on the fact that I don't agree. Understand this, anybody listening. There, to cut someone off means you're going to have to be in disagreement. We very rarely cut off people that we agree with. So when you and a person at disagreement, a point of disagreement, analyze the situation. Is what they bring to the table needed? And if it is, suck it up, deal with it. But if it's not, then release them. Release them professionally. Release them respectfully. Never be disrespectfully, professionally, or personally, because you never know when it's going to come full circle. That's one thing. But release them professionally and respectfully, and that's it. Even if they turn and decide to blow you up, block you, do whatever, okay. But if you've done it professionally and respectfully, don't lose any sleep. I think the sad part is, and I was talking to somebody about this online earlier, how color works its way into how certain folks are perceived to do business. And it's sad to say how folks perceive folks of color doing business. And then what's really sad is when we prove some of those stereotypes right. When folks say, well, you need to do this professionally first before you come here. And then folks show up unprofessional and then get mad when they don't get it.
Mm-hmm.
No. Tiff said something to me before. She said the number of women that would show up for a casting or for fitting or whatever, and they show up half naked. Or they show up with none of the stuff. Well, baby, you on. Go ahead and explain what you've seen in terms of people not being able to follow the directions of things that you've come to.
Yeah, they don't do their research. They just expect to show up and get things done. And I think that's, you know, it's so funny because that's something that we discussed on our Facebook post also, as far as what to expect. Like you said, when someone is saying, "I want you to help me," and that's all they're saying, they're not actually saying what it is that they want you to do, because you're offering your expertise and what you're able to do, but they don't see that as enough, but they're not actually telling you what they need you to do. But it's the same thing with the plus model industry, where people show up to circumstances, they don't do their research, and they just want to be put on. But you don't know how to dress the part. You don't realize that there's certain things that you shouldn't wear. There's certain things, ways you shouldn't do your makeup. There's certain shoes that you should wear, that you shouldn't show up in boots to a casting, that you actually should have 3-inch heels. They haven't done their research in order to be able to promote themselves. And that's with anything, whether it's in the literary field, whether it's in a plus model industry, that you have to have an idea of what exactly you need to help you. Because people can offer what they think you need, but if you don't give people an idea of, this is where I am, this is where I want to be, and this is the help I need, then it's not going to go anywhere.
Exactly.
So,
and that goes to the subject at hand. That's when you release them.
Yeah.
That's when you release them. I'm serious. That's when you release them. And don't, sometimes it's not worth explaining. Know when a conversation is productive or when it's not productive. And productive conversation is one where it is a mutual dialogue, not a fight for position. Not, I want you to perceive I am right, so I'm going to keep fighting until you see it my way, and we go back and forth that way, or I'm just going to ignore you completely because I didn't see it. At that point, release them. Don't ever be scared to unfriend, block, delete. Never be scared on the internet to hit those buttons. They're there for a reason. And it's not just a perv button. It's not just a stalker button. Some folks you have to release into the internet, see, let them go. And if y'all come back around again, if y'all happen to run each other, if y'all have mutual friends, so what? I think I found it funny that there's apps that tell you who's unfollowing you. So what?
Who cares? You know, I don't even understand what the purpose of that is, because if you're not following me anymore and if you don't want to be my Facebook friend anymore, I really don't care unless you have brought it to
me.
And it's funny that you mentioned that, because earlier this week, I had a conversation with someone who I needed to release. And
I was wondering when you were going to get to that.
I needed to get some things off my chest because it was a problem that had gone on for many, many, many years, probably as long as I've been alive. And I finally said, you know what, this person claims that they don't understand and they are basically looking for sympathy, like KL said, and I can't do sympathy because I've been through so much with them. And I finally said, you know what, if they really don't understand, let me take this opportunity to explain. And when I started explaining to them what the circumstances were and why I was distant and why I didn't allow myself to continue to be a part of their madness. It's not that they didn't understand. They wanted things their way. They wanted me to continue being a part of their madness the way they wanted. They understood completely, but they wanted to manipulate the situation. They wanted things, again, their way. And I said, you know what? I've explained it. I've explained it clear, so there's no misunderstanding, no misconstruing what my feelings are. And they basically disregarded. So I said, you know, it's time to release that person. And I let them know that I was releasing them. It wasn't just a matter of, I'm not going to be your Facebook friend anymore. I'm just going to delete you and don't let you know why. Because I'm
like
very
that
big
commercial.
On getting
I unfriend
people,
you.
Yes. I'm very big on giving people understanding of why. Because I can count on one hand how many times I've had to let someone go in my personal life. It's not something that I just
offered. Hold on one second. Hold that thought a second. I also want to say this one thing. I had to push Tiff to make that move because when you're friends with someone, and I mean you have an intimate, and I'm not just talking about spouse. I'm talking about when you have a real connection and friendship with someone, you don't want to see them in pain and you don't want to see anybody trying to attempt. You don't want to see anybody attempting to put them in painful situations. So sometimes you have to push them to do what you know is right because you're our friend. Now, this is my wife we're talking about, so we're more than friends. So one of the things that I wanted, and I said to Tiff, do this not for that person, for yourself. You need to release this person. Like, she had already released it for let me just real quick because Tiff didn't give you the whole thing. Tiff had already released this person, but they kept calling like, what did I do and help and I need and what's going on and yes, why you treat me like this and all these other things and you act like I don't exist. Okay. As the outsider, not emotionally connected to the environment, the first thing I said was tell her why you released her. Don't give her a chance to go through all the foolishness. Explain to them why you released them. Give them your point and then let it go no matter what they feel unless they're going to concede and give in and say, okay, you're 100% right. Because in this case, the person was so wrong. So wrong. That it didn't even make any sense. And so that's where we led you. So back to what you were saying, I just wanted folks to understand how you got to the point that you were. Because when you made the phone call, what happened when you made the phone call?
When I made the phone call and started to express the reasons why, and valid reasons why, because like I said, I am not the type of person where I'm just kicking people to the side left and right. I have long-term relationships. I have friends that I've had for over 30 years. I'm only 38 years old. So it's not a matter of, oh, I don't feel like dealing with you anymore and I'm kicking you to the side. I had allowed this person to basically abuse and mistreat and misuse for many, many years unabated. And finally I said, enough is enough. And I decided that it was time for me to explain to them what, you know, different circumstances, and even as recent as a couple of months ago, different circumstances that they have done things that were just uncalled for and bring it to their attention, and they still would not acknowledge it, would not even, I mean, there was an apology, but the apology was so haphazard that they might as well have not apologized at all. And I just decided, you know, I can't be a part of that madness, and I have to let you go. And because it doesn't seem to me like you're going to change. And the person actually said, well, I don't think I did anything wrong. And I said to them, well, if I'm telling you that what you did offended me, and I'm telling you that I did not feel comfortable, you didn't make me feel comfortable, then how can you turn around and say, well, I don't think I did anything wrong? Then you're basically disregarding and discounting how I feel. And you want to do things your way, which is how it's been over the years. Because, again, this wasn't the first time that I had let the person know what you're doing is making me feel uncomfortable. But this was the first time that I said to them, I'm not going to allow it to continue. and we no longer have a relationship, which I believe was a total shock for them. And I think sometimes even as a Christian, people tend to use that or try to use it against you because, again, I've had people do that, say, well, that's not being a very good Christian if you can't forgive. And I said, no, I've forgiven. I've forgiven, but being
but
a Christian
I've released you.
Yes. But being a Christian,
I forgave you, but
mean,
I released you.
It doesn't mean that I have to continue to be subjected to your abuse.
Exactly.
If I'm continuing, every time I open myself up to you, I'm being abused. It doesn't mean I have to continue to do that. So yes, I've
meekness,
forgiven you.
Meekness is not weakness. Being meek means I could bust you in your face, but I'm not going to because I have control and I know the Lord. It doesn't mean I'm going to stand there and let you bust me in the face either. I'm smart enough to know that that's not where I need to be. Often
Absolutely.
People want to use your faith as a armor for themselves, and they don't realize that when I have the armor of my faith on me, it doesn't mean I'm in a position to attack. It means I'm in a position of defense also, and we tend to forget that. And people, that's the sympathy part. People want sympathy, so they're like, you're a Christian. You're supposed to forgive me and love me. Hold on. It doesn't say where. I'm going to love you from a distance.
Yes.
I'm going to forgive you and then travel to that distance. So you are 100% right. I am supposed to forgive you. I am supposed to love you. And I'm going to do both from 300 miles away. So if you happen to be coming through my state, stop by. We'll give you a little something to eat, but then you're going to keep it moving. And so some folks get offended because they're like, you didn't give me what I wanted. Listen, God doesn't give you everything that you want. So I'm not greater than God, so nor am I going to try. I'm going to tell you what's wrong. You can accept it. And what's crazy is some of the same folks who will throw the Christian card on the table claim to be Christians themselves, but then become closed-minded when having the discussion.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And it's like, okay, if we're both in the body of Christ, why are we fighting? If I tell you this and I can show you scripturally where I'm coming from, that should be enough to back you off. But instead, if that's where you want to go, well, then let's do the Christian right thing. You go your way, I go
mine.
And
I go mine.
And if you don't you don't want to go, well, then I'm going to cut you loose and go my way. And no, you can't go with me. And that gets to go back to what I said originally, is that you can never be scared to release somebody. I had this conversation with a family member, a very close family member myself. And they could not understand what I meant when I said, I'm sorry, I know how you feel, but I'm releasing that person. And I'm releasing that person because two things. One, being in their presence may cause me to act on areas in my walk that I'm weak at. It's like I wouldn't ask a crackhead to go stand guard inside the crack house, watching New Jack City recently. Why would I do that? Because I would not put that person in an area that could cause weakness for them. Just like I wouldn't put a recovering sex addict on guard at the whorehouse. Why would I do that? That doesn't mean that that person is weak all the way around. It means that that person might be weakened if I put them in that position. Well, I'm not going to place myself in a position to be weakened. And I'm not going to test myself because that's what someone else wants. Sometimes it's just simply goodbye.
Mm-hmm.
Take care. I'm going to pray for you. And not saying I'm going to pray for you in a disrespectful way. I really wish folks would stop doing it. Yeah, I'm going to pray for you. No, don't say you're going to speak to God on someone else's behalf with negativity. That's 100% wrong. Please, keep your mouth shut then. Don't even mention me. Just pass me. Miss me with that. When you pray for somebody, ask the Lord to heal what you believe is wrong. Lord, soften their heart. Lord, help them to see that what they're doing is hurting others. Lord, help them to be better with their finances. Lord, help them not to hurt their children anymore. Be direct and then release that person into the most powerful hands of the Most High and walk away. See, we're scared to walk away because we're worried about what's going to happen to them. Well, you know what? This is where your faith comes in. And it's the same in business. Don't get it twisted. Never be worried about the money someone else makes. Never be worried about the prestige someone else makes if you already deem them not worthy to work with. Because then, what were you doing? That means you didn't do your homework. You didn't do your research. Now, are you going to make mistakes? Of course. Are you going to make choices that later on you go, oh my gosh, if I had stayed with, okay. Okay. Here's my question. At the time that you made the decision, did you believe that you were right? Yes. Stop right there. That's it. Learn from it if it's a mistake. Learn from it if it was a positive. Keep it moving. Tiff put on a pageant some years ago. Was that 07 or 08?
09.
And at the time, we had money that came in, a substantial amount of money that came in. In hindsight, we both would agree a mistake was made. Would you agree?
Yes.
Okay. Now, but at the time, I said to her, is this what you really want to do? She looked me in the face. She looked me in the eye, Sam. Really, I'm watching too much TV.
You are
over
so silly. Yeah. You are so silly.
I looked her in her optical nerve, though.
Her optical nerve.
Her optical nerve. She said, yes. And I said, okay, then let's do it. Now, a part of me was saying, we should put that money up, we should. But I said, you know what? If that's what my baby wants to do, I'm going to support my baby all out. And we did it. She put on a fantastic pageant. We had a good time. Somebody stole some money. But at the end of the day, we didn't make anywhere near the profit that we thought we were going to make. But instead of going, you see, I told, I asked the one simple question. Did you enjoy yourself? And your answer was?
Yes, I did. But you also asked another question.
Would you do it all over again?
Yes, you asked me would I do it all over again, and I said I surely would. I didn't regret
At that point, even though we both, in hindsight, realized that it was a mistake, I can't now go back and try to act like I thought differently then. I said, in the future, this is where the learning comes in. In the future, if we were ever in that environment again, situation again, we would do it differently, meaning that we would still put the event on, but we would find a way to do it for this amount of money while taking this amount of money, putting it to the side. But I wasn't going to go back and beat my wife over the head. So I had released the thought of the negative, other than just the learning part. That's what I'm getting at when you let people go. If you look at the decision then, when you let them go, if they go on to greatness or they fall flat on their face, if at the time you thought you were making the right decision, don't beat yourself up. Just simply go, all right, Lord, what do you have for me? Now, some people are not going to accept or like being let go. Some people are going to treat you in some very disrespectful ways. And Lord, Tiff and I have that going on right now. Well, it's been quiet the last 2 years. But we had clients that we worked with who called us thieves.
Yes.
When they were the ones who stole from us. They are the ones that owe us. But called us thieves. Said that we disrespected them when actually they benefited from us. Put us in negative situations. But you know what? We let it go. And let them go. Because we learned a valuable thing, how to do certain business. And so it cost us a large amount of money, but we learned. And have since not looked back at it. It is what it is. So when you consider who you're dealing with, stop and consider everything. And if they got to go, they got to go.
And that includes family, too.
I just
want to say, because I see people and I hear people all the time saying blood is thicker than water, family forever. And sometimes because of the emotional ties, you will let family do you the worst than a stranger on the street.
Who told you that when they first met you?
You.
Exactly.
And it took me a long time to recognize it, acknowledge it, and start to do things in my life to change certain situations, because you get so used to it. And again, it's the KL calls it emotional blackmail. And it's emotional blackmail because that person's family. So you'll look and you'll say, oh, but that's my cousin, that's my sister, that's my brother, that's my grandmother, that's my mother. But if you see that this person is doing you so wrong, they don't have the license to do you wrong because that's your mother or that's your grandmother or that's your father. They don't have that freedom to do that. And you have to know when to say, okay, enough is enough. This has to stop. And it's funny because I had this discussion with a young lady. She contacted me. She was going through some stuff. She's in her early 20s. And I explained to her because she was also with family where she was doing. And I said to her, listen, I've been there. And I explained to her what my situation was. And I explained to her what I lost trying to do for others. And at some point, you have to draw the line and say, okay, I can't do this anymore because I'm losing myself. Because the bottom line is, if you drop dead tomorrow, if I drop dead tomorrow, then those people who are abusing and using and mistreating me, they're going to move on to the next person to abuse, misuse, and mistreat. They're going to say, oh, wow, that's my son. Tiffany is in the grave now. And, you know,
all right.
She was such
you know
a
what?
Good person.
Hold on. I'm going to say something right here. Now, I don't care if you get offended. Family does not have the right to run you into the ground. I don't care how deep the blood runs. Family does not have the right to mistreat you. Family does not have the right to misuse you. Family does not have the right to your finances. Let me say this again. They do not have the right to your finances. They have the right for you to take a deeper consideration because they're family. Yes, I'll do more for a sister, brother, mother, cousin than I might do a stranger or a coworker at work. But at the end of the day, and I say this to my family at all, just because I lend you money does not mean you do not have to pay me back because we're family. You damn right you got to pay me back, because if you are owing me and I now can't make payments, then I am not in position to help anybody in the future. So the first thing is, no one has the right to take from you just because you're family. That's out. Second, emotional blackmail sucks. I did for you, so do for me. I'm your mom, so do for me. I'm your dad, you're supposed to. I'm your brother. How you going to do me like that? First of all, if you got to go that route, then you suspect to begin with.
Yeah.
Stop it. If you're using your children like that, stop it. And anybody listening, cut them loose. Now, you may go, how am I going to cut my mom loose? I'm not saying stop loving your mom, but it might be time to start figuring out how to get out your mom's house. It might be time to distance yourself from your brothers and sisters and get on your own and do what you got to do. And then when you decide to let them come over or you decide to get together, that's something different. When I say cut somebody off, I'm not saying close every means to them. But it means distancing yourself either physically, emotionally, spiritually, whatever, if what they're doing in your life is creating a negative situation. When it comes to finances, I am sorry. I don't work 40 hours, sometimes 60 or more. Or I don't go out and run up and down the road trying to sell books simply so someone can say, well, you selling books, I can't get one for free? No. I've had people look at me like, oh, so you go, I'm your cousin. Okay, here's what the discounted price is. Can I get my money, please? Even my grandmother said, God rest her, you going to charge me for the book? Grandma gave you the first one for free.
And I was a witness. KL charged his grandmother for books.
I gave her the first one for, I gave my mother and grandmother the first one for free, and they wanted more because they wanted to give them away. No, you ain't giving it away. This is what it's going to cost you. Here's the discounted price. Because if you give it away, then there's no guarantee you're going to get it back. Now, if you're in a position to do so, fine. I personally was not in a position to do that. Now, some might say, well, KO, you being mean. Okay, you have the right to see me in whatever way you choose. I'm only giving you my experiences and my thoughts on my experiences. But what I would say is, anytime somebody wants to create or put you in a negative situation, put you in a box, put you anywhere that's negative, release them. Don't be scared to say, we're done. If there's an emergency, I'll be the first one there. Well, how could you be there in an emergency and not be there on a regular? Easy. The situation dictates it. And then when the situation is taken care of and they back up on their feet, God bless you, I'm going back to my business. But people are scared to do that because people are scared to be on their own. Do you know that the Lord separated families? You too. Come on, let's go. Leave your family behind. You too. Let's go. Leave your wife and your mother-in-law behind. You, come on. Leave your mom behind. Let's go. It happens. You pray. You leave them. You wish the Lord. You wish them well through the Lord, and that's it. But do not keep anybody cling to you because their expectations is what they want. You know what? If it don't match your own expectations, don't just do for the sake of doing. No, no, no. And on the internet, let me tell you something. I'm the fastest delete block person on the planet. Hey, look at this new video of this chick with the big delete. Yo, look at this video with this chick sucking delete. Oh, son, it was only one video. Why you delete me? Yo, that one video was enough for me. And then when you get the private message, yo, did you delete me? Yes. No 30-second delay in my response. Yes. Why? Because I didn't like what you did. Well, son, you could have told me. I did. What you mean? I deleted you. That was my response. That's how I decided to do it. You're asking me to have done it the way that you felt comfortable. Doesn't work for me. How it works for me? Delete. Come on, man. Yo, that's not even right, man. Yo, I can't get back on. Why would you want to? See, I put the weight back on them. Why you want to be reconnected? Because I just said I'm not with what you just posted. You want to not post those things? Come on, son. That's how I do me. Okay, do you. You delete it. I'm not stopping you from doing you. I'm stopping you having access to me. You have yet to explain to me how you're going to stop doing the things that offend me. So until you come up with that answer, you want to delete it. And, see, people want to try to explain, well, let me tell you why I deleted you, because, you know, in my faith and the Bible said, no, deleted you because I ain't like it. That's it. That's it. I deleted you because what you did offends me. That's it.
And that's something else. I'm not going to have a debate about my faith either.
Thank you. I got to explain to you why I believe. Well, you know God ain't real. Okay, he's real to me. Delete. I can't believe the white man got you so charged up on the faith, you know, before. Okay. That's true. That may be true for you. Not true for me. Delete. I can't believe that the white man got you so twisted on a faith that's not really ours. You know, back in Africa, we wasn't. Oh, you know what? None of us know what we were back in Africa. You weren't alive and I wasn't alive. Delete.
It is so true.
And we can go back and forth with this all day, but at the end of the day, you're not going to dictate to me until you're ready to give in and say, you know what? I was thinking about something. You're right. Maybe I need to consider that. Okay. See, because I'm not demanding that you change unless you and I want to connect on the level that I'm at. See, I'm going to stand my ground, and I'm willing to take whatever loss comes from that. That's the part that I want you to understand. When you let somebody go, I told Tiff when she got the phone, she was explaining to me about the person still just not. I said, oh, stop. It's not a problem that that person don't get it. You gave them their release information. You explained what the release information contained. You explained how the release information will go on from this point. It's on them. You don't even have to hold that no more. That weight is no longer yours. You good now. You push that into the water and it is what it is. Don't bring it back. Because now a person will sit down and now they got to go through their brain. What do I do? What do I do? Forget all that. You know what to do. I just told you. And anybody listening, I hope that it helps that you sit down and consider. Tiff and I can only come from where we are with things, but I try to give a well-rounded thought to the things that I present. I'm not out to make people agree with me. I'm not out to make you understand. I mean,
to give a different perspective.
Yes. This is just where I'm at. Now, you could disagree with me 100%, and actually, I don't mind that. And there's nothing wrong with that. All I would say is that the first thing is just take a minute and sit down and consider where we're coming from and respect it. Even if you don't agree, we can disagree but still respect each other. Some folks can't do that. They don't know how to do that. And that's all that Tiff and I have, because we're not going to beg you to see it our way. We're really not.
And we don't always agree.
Oh, no. Oh, listen, please. Tiff and I, we've been here. Man, please. We've been here fussing. I'd be like, prove it to me. Show me online. I don't care. We'd be arguing, be betting. R. Kelly did not date her. We're always at disagreements, but the idea is the proof. Proof. And this is what we do. And I think we're not giving you anything that we don't practice ourselves. But the one thing that we're always is respectful. Now, does it get borderline disrespectful? Yes, my wife does get borderline disrespectful. I must say that.
I get firm. I don't try to be disrespectful.
Like last night, she was borderline disrespectful. So I said a curse word, then I went to bed. Lord forgive me, but I had to, like, you know, you pull her. And I went to bed because Tiff was on some real. Anyway, y'all know what comes behind that. I'm just saying. I was like, how the, you know, but I'm going to leave that alone. So we practice what we preach. And we can also say this to anyone listening. We have been rewarded by our faith. Has everything been restored? No. We're still without our grandmother, still without our mother-in-law and her mother. But the blessings that have come by being faithful to this marriage and to God has been worth all of it. That baby in her belly and the blessings that have come since has been worth it. But we still got a long way to go. We're hoping that what we share with you tonight will open up doors for you to see how to get to your own blessing through the decisions that you make. And that's why we do this show, and that's why we were happy to be back after 2 weeks, because we want to be able to offer help to everyone that comes to us. Even if they don't agree with the way that we give the help, we still want to see you better off than where you are if we can do that. So, honey?
Yes, love.
It has been fun.
It has.
You can close us out, and I'm going to say something at the very end.
Well, I want to thank everyone for tuning in this evening, Reality and Relationship. I want to also mention that this is February, March, April.
What,
April
that
we're
registered at Babies R Us, Tiffany Braxton Belvin and KL Belvin?
I need
Babies
to
R Us, registry is still up.
Yes,
you want
the
to support campers.
Yes, the registry is still up, and we definitely would appreciate anything that you can offer.
Don't get the less than a year. Baby already 8-9 months. Get the big one.
She's 8 pounds. She's so sick. She's not going to fit in newborn. So if you get anything newborn, it probably won't happen. She'll probably get to wear something once, and then that's it. But, yeah, definitely we're registered at Babies R Us. But also, KL and I, our company, Braven Publishing, is sponsoring the American Beauties Plus pageant. And we're providing the gift bags for the pageant of the delegates and the queens. And if you
in
would
April,
like
right?
to participate. Yeah, April 24th to 27th. I'll be in Atlanta, Georgia. If you would like to contribute, if you have business or services that you think maybe we would be interested in, definitely contact me. I'm on Facebook at Tiffany Braxton Belvin. You can also email me, TiffanyBraxtonBelvin at yahoo.com. And let me know what you would like to include in a gift basket. And the queens would definitely appreciate it. And again, this Saturday, we're going to be in Garden City for the fundraiser ball gowns and bowling shoes, the fundraiser for Special Olympics with my pageant sister, Natalie Sandy. If you'd like to join us, you can reach out to me, and I'll send you the information. So, honey, you want to close us out?
I just simply want to say thank you for taking the time out to be there to support us. But extend that support to GQ Palace Radio. The folks that are behind the scenes work tremendously hard at what they do. So don't just make it a one-night thing. If you're home inside your house or on your phone, same phone number, same website, tune in and listen to the other shows and support. We need to start supporting the things that are owned by folks of color, for folks of color, and everybody else. It is not just a black thing or white thing. It's about good, interesting radio from provided by folks who really want to give the best. And if you just listen to the drops, you see that there's a lot of people in the music industry that is supporting what Rich and Lavina are doing, and I want you to do the same. So definitely jump on Facebook, GQ Palace Radio. Definitely go to Blog Talk. Definitely check out everything that they're doing. Also, continue to support Tiff and I. My book dropped in January, and I'll be honest, I'm upset with the support that folks have been showing. I've been getting lip service, but I want to actually see folks buy the books, because in buying the books, it allows me to do more for other people. I'm not going to lie about that. So Soldiers of the Cross is the new anthology. It is on the website, www.bravenpublishing.com. Please buy the book, because in buying the book, it allows me to do more and the traveling that I do to reach other folks. So we definitely would love that support. And, yes, we are registered at Babies R Us. Listen, I'm not going to lie to you. The baby needs and any help and support that we can get is appreciated. So Babies R Us, Keith K.L. Belvin and Tiffany Braxton Belvin at Babies R Us. It has been great to be back. We will see you next week. Hopefully the baby will be born. If not, we'll keep doing what we do. So until next week, God bless.
God bless. Good night.
You know I love you, right? Ain't nobody got what we got.
GQ Palace Radio.
What I do with my baby. Yes. It's built from the concrete, baby. Don't get no better than this.
Yeah. We've had some ups and downs, made a lot of bad mistakes, but we've always had some good times, and through it all, you held me down, baby, you've always held it down, oh yeah.
There were times when I was afraid and wanted you to leave, but you stayed right here by my side. Never let me go. You always stayed around.
GQ Palace Radio.
That's right.
You stayed around.
And you've been so good to
and
me.
And it doesn't matter how slow, whatever comes our way, you know, you and me, we gon' stay together.
Yo, what up, peace world, this your boy Mellow Man Ace, right now you got it locked on GQ Palace Radio.
You always seem to tell when I need a little kiss in the heart, and that extra kind of loving, you love me like a champion, baby you're my superman, yeah.
Baby, girl you know just what I like, what you do makes me lose my mind. I just wanna give you,
give
make
you
love to you,
love to you.
Put you on a rocket flight, keep on loving till we touch the sky.
Keep your power, keep your power. Hey, hey, it's Lavina, and on Thursday night, I spend my time chilling with the Belvin, KL and Tiffany Belvin, Reality and Relationship, on GQ Palace Radio from 8 to 10, calling with those relationship questions they got to answer. It's butter, baby.
Yo, what's good? This is Casanova Rudd from the group Super Lover CN Casanova Rudd. You know, the golden era of hip-hop, baby. You are now tuned in to GQ Palace Radio.
Yeah.
This is Rich Money, and every Thursday night from 8 to 10 p.m., I sit back, relax, and listen to GQ Palace Radio, Reality and Relationship, with KL and Tiffany Belvin. It's Buzz, baby.